Good morning, everybody. I really do not want to do this. I am serious. If I could walk out this door right now, I would. And there's a reason. It's because this subject is actually quite personal to me. It's not that I'm nervous. It's that this is actually quite personal. So please be compassionate and kind and loving to me as I bring this message that I do not want to bring. Okay, the message this morning is titled Drugs, A Christian Perspective. Now, as I look out on this wonderful audience of Christian, wholesome Christian people, I would suspect there's probably not a lot of you that are actively involved in taking drugs. But I would put it out there that it's quite possible that there's people you know that are involved. It could be a friend, a work colleague, a son, a daughter, a grandchild. And they may be involved in drugs and you may not even know it. You see, drugs are actually a very prevalent part of our society, and there's a lot of people out there doing drugs. So just let me get my notes here. So how do I know this? What gives me the right to be speaking on the subject? This is what I'm nervous about. I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to do what Christians fear. I'm going to share some of my past with you people. It's risky. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in what you'd call an ungodly home. And in my home, substance use, alcohol, was normal. It was encouraged for me to drink alcohol from an early age, from the age of 12. In fact, if I wasn't drinking alcohol at age 12, I was kind of frowned upon, like, well, what's wrong with you? This was normal. This was my house, my home. I began drinking at that age, at the age of 16. I would say I wasn't an alcoholic, but I was probably borderline problem drinker. I would binge drink in the weekends, and a weekend could be 3 or 4 days. And by binge drinking, I mean drinking so much alcohol that you couldn't even remember what you'd said or what you did the night before. You couldn't remember how you got to bed, how you took your clothes off, how you got home. And I drank this way, abusing alcohol, for a long time in my life, till I was about 30. But the story thickens. I also, at the age of 16, began using cannabis. My cannabis use grew until I was using cannabis on a daily basis. I have used many other substances, powerful drugs, hallucinogenic drugs, psilocybin mushrooms, magic mushrooms, dimethyltryptamine, salvia divinorum, things that you people may not have even heard of. I've done this stuff. What am I sharing this with you for this morning? Well, first of all, it gives me some credentials to speak on this subject. But second of all, I want you to realize that the stereotypical look of a drug user is not always the case. They're not always long-haired hippies that you can go, they're a druggie. No. Sometimes a drug user is a normal-looking, functional person in society, and you wouldn't know that they're a drug user. Like me. Maybe I've raised some eyebrows there, like, what? But the third reason I wanted to share that little testimony was because I stand here before you clean, free of drugs, sober, and set free. And I can say it's only because of the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus Christ in my life. I was going to ask this Brethren Church to say amen, but you guys did. So thank you. Okay. Now onto my sermon. First of all, the impact of drug use. I've put together potentially what drugs can do in people's lives. So here's some images. First one, education. So if you're a young person, how do you study when your mind's all foggy and you're under the influence of a drug? You could drop out of school. My daughter was kicked out of school for drug use. If you don't educate yourself well in this society, it can lead to unemployment. Most or a lot of employers will drug test before they'll employ you these days. You could lose your job because of drug use. Unemployment can lead to poverty. Poverty can lead to homelessness. And these are worst case scenarios. Other impacts? Broken relationships. You can distance yourself from friends, from your family members, people close to you. And I testify this morning that drugs caused my first marriage to break up. My children, my two daughters, were raised in a one-parent family because of my decision to use drugs. So I know the impact of drugs can be pain and suffering. Not necessarily for the user, but for others around them. Mental illness. In some instances, some of these powerful drugs can bring on psychosis. Some people never recover from some of these hallucinogenic drugs like LSD. Commonly, depression, a lack of motivation or purpose in life. This can lead to death, can lead to such despair where your only way to escape drugs is to take your own life. And I've been there several times where the only way to escape the anguish and to stop my mind craving after drugs was to take my life. Accidental overdoses. There's physical harm. I've put together some images here. These are people who have been addicted to methamphetamine. These pictures are quite staggering. You probably can't see it, but this is a man over a 7-year period before and after. Looks like a normal person. You wouldn't even recognize him 7 years later. Here's an image of a beautiful young woman over a 1-year period. Look at the impact that this drug had on her. And here's another image. This is over an 11-year period. Again, another beautiful young woman. Looks like she's aged 40 years. So you can see the impact is pretty profound. I look at these images and I can't help but think the after photos almost look like they're kind of demon possessed. I'm not saying this is the case, but I know for myself, at times battling drugs, I felt like there was something else in control of me. I actually forgot to mention that I actually wasn't just a drug user, but I was actually at one stage in my life seriously addicted. If you guys might remember in the news, there was a substance called synthetic cannabis that was on the market and it was legal and it was perfectly fine to go and purchase it. So I thought this stuff was fine to use. I used this stuff and to give you an idea, I had no idea how powerful this stuff was. To give you an idea what drug addiction feels like, if you're not using the substance, you're thinking about using it. I would wake up first thing in the morning, and the first thing that would come into my mind was, I need that drug. as soon as that drug started to wear off, I need more of it. To the extent where I was using the substance 6 or 7 times a day. And even before I go to sleep at night, I was like, I don't want to go to sleep without this drug in my system. So drug addiction is something that can really get a hold of people. Okay. As Christians or as people often, we would just say, don't do drugs. If we're going to enter into a conversation here about drugs, we need to define what a drug is. The Oxford Dictionary here describes a drug as a medicine or other substance which has a physiological effect when introduced into the body. That's a really broad term for what a drug is. By that definition, you could say sugar is a drug. It has an effect on our body. It actually releases dopamine, the reward center in our body, so you could class, and it's quite addictive. So what is a drug? What are we talking about? What I want to do this morning is I first want to take a category of drugs and put them aside. That this isn't what I'm discussing this morning. What I'm not discussing is pharmaceutical medicine, stuff that's used for our benefit and that's scientifically proven for our benefit. We're not discussing medicine, it's a whole other topic. What we want to discuss this morning is recreational psychoactive substances, substances that have an effect on our mind. Now, it's a grey area. Look, what's acceptable to God to use and what's not? To give you an example, stimulants are a category of drug. Now, cocaine, methamphetamine, a stimulant, speed your mind up. They're powerful stimulants. We would all say, well, of course that's not acceptable to use these substances. But yet at the same time, we'll wake up first thing in the morning and drink coffee and caffeinate ourselves all day long with another stimulant. What makes that substance okay, that drug to use okay, and other substances not? Well, of course, our only solution as Christians is to seek out the answers in the Bible. The Bible is remarkably silent on the subject of drugs. In fact, I can find only one reference or one word that's used in the Bible that specifically talks of drug use. This word, a Greek word, is called pharmakia. This is where we get our English word pharmacy or pharmaceutical from. Now, it's an interesting word because you'll find it 3 times in the Bible. And why isn't it translated as drug use? And why can't we find drugs in the Bible? There's a good reason, because it's actually translated as witchcraft, magic, or sorcery. Why? I'll just explain this a little bit. Over human history, we have been tribal people as human beings. We gather together in tribes or communities, and in that tribe, if you have a physical or a spiritual need, you would go to the spiritual leader of your tribe. Like in the Jewish community, you go to the high priest. In other communities, you would go to a spiritual leader such as a shaman or a witch doctor. Okay? And they made no distinction between a spiritual need and a physical need. You would just go to be ministered healing from your shaman. This has happened over human history. It still happens out there in the world now. Like there's shamans and tribes out there today. Over time, humankind discovered that plants and things out there have properties and healing properties. So these shamans and spiritual leaders realized that they could administer healing to people by giving them substances. Now, this is where the word pharmakia breaks into a positive and a negative side to it. The positive is what we would use medicine for today in pharmacy. It would be for our benefit. We take a substance, it helps heal us. There's a negative aspect of this word as well, because not only did humankind realized these plants can heal us, they realized they can have a powerful impact on our mind. And they can bring about visions and hallucinations. This is the context with which this word pharmakia is used in the Bible. It's the negative way that it's used. And sorry, I'm just losing my train of thought. How do we know it's the negative aspect of it? Let's look at where it's found in Scripture. Revelation 9:21, Revelation 18:23, and I'm going to read from Galatians 5:19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. This word witchcraft is this word I'm talking about, pharmakia. Hatred, discord, and various other things. You can see they're all negative things. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can see pharmakia, in this instance, is not acceptable to God. And what's not acceptable is the use of this of substances to induce visions or hallucinations, and ultimately what the tribal leaders were trying to do was contact the spiritual realms and gain healing or counsel from spiritual entities. That's the context within the Bible that this word is used. And that's the only, apart from alcohol, the only time you will find a reference to drug use in the Bible. So where does that leave me presenting a sermon on drugs? What I've decided to do is I've put together three principles of godly living that I can find in the Bible. And by grasping these principles, we can actually put two and two together and realize that taking drugs is not a godly thing to do. Principle number one. As Christians, we need to submit to governing authorities. What does this mean? We need to obey the law. Now, we could get really pedantic about this. If the speed limit's 50, we shouldn't be going over it. If it's illegal to download a movie, as Christians, we've got no right to do it. If our local body authorities say, don't put green waste in your wheelie bin, we shouldn't be doing it as Christians. Doesn't say that in Scripture, does it? Romans 13:1-2. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And again, it's in several places. 1 Peter 2:13-14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. We need to obey the law. That means if a drug is illegal, we've got no business taking it as Christians. The only exception to this rule is if the governing authority laws contradict God's laws. We can find this in Scripture in Daniel 3, where King Nebuchadnezzar made this giant gold idol, and he commanded that the people bow down and worship the idol. Of course, the Jewish people knew this contradicted God's command, so they didn't do it. So there are exceptions to obeying the law, but only if they contradict God's law. Now, the argument of whether it's legal or not legal is not enough to base whether you should use a drug or not. It's too paper thin. We need more, because believe me, there will come a day when cannabis is legal in this country. Does that make it okay as Christians for us to use it or not? Well, it's legal, I can use it now. So we can't just base the entire argument on the legality of a substance. Paul was challenged on this. We don't live under the law. As Christians, we don't have to obey laws. Paul was challenged on it, and he responded by saying, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. As Christians, we're free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And he also replied in 1 Corinthians 6:12, where he said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I'm going to get back to this being mastered by anything later on. But this brings me to principle number two. Is it beneficial to do this? I believe as Christians, any decision, any action that we're going to do, we should be asking ourselves, is this beneficial to do this? Is it beneficial to our physical bodies, our physical well-being? Is it beneficial to our minds and our spirits? Is it beneficial to the kingdom of God? Now, first of all, let's talk about our bodies. Is it beneficial to our bodies? Broadening it out here, we could say substances are food. We could say, is it beneficial for me to stuff this chocolate cream donut into my mouth? You probably have to say long term, no, it's not. But we're not talking about food here. That's a different subject. We are talking about drugs. There is solid evidence that drugs do harm physically. We saw the pictures before. It can harm our heart and our blood vessels, can harm our lungs, can harm our liver, our nervous systems, and of course our brains. So I hear this argument. I hope there's no smokers out here. I hear this at work a lot from fellow workmates who are smokers. And their argument is this: well, I've got to die of something. All heard that before? The underlying issue of this is they think they have a right to do whatever they want with their body and to harm it in any way they want. Is this a Christian way of viewing our bodies? No. Thank you for the no's out there. I would think not. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this: do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Some might say, that's scriptures out of context. That's about sexual immorality. It doesn't matter. The principle remains the same. Our bodies are a temple. We need to treat them as holy and sacred, and we need to honor God with our bodies. Okay? We're not going to find anything in context with regards to drugs in the Bible, so I have to take things out of context. Okay. Is it beneficial to your mind? Or more specific, is it beneficial to your decision-making processes? Romans 12, 1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Again, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. What am I getting at here? If we want to test and approve what God's will is in our lives, we need to have clear, sober minds. If we want to make wise, godly choices, we can't make these choices if we're intoxicated, drunk, or under the influence of a drug. If we are under the influence of a substance or a drug, it can lead us to poor decisions. And ultimately, it's going to lead us to sin. Proverbs 2:1. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Again, it's about alcohol, but alcohol is a drug. It can lead us astray. It'll lead us into sin. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert." And some translations will translate that word alert to sober-minded. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you're under the influence of a drug or a substance, you open the doorway for the devil to wreak havoc in your life. And I know it because it happened in my life. Third point. Oh no, hang on, I've got one more scripture. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery and many other sins, I would suspect. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And lastly, on the subject of is it beneficial to do this, is it beneficial to the kingdom of God? Now, I believe as Christians, we're here to bear witness of Christ in us. We are to manifest holiness, love. The Spirit of God should be flowing from us. If we're under the influence of a drug, are we inhibiting the flow of the Spirit? I would think we are. And what does this do for the kingdom of God? I think it does one thing, and that leads people astray. It will lead other people into sin, and it will lead them away from God. So we've got to watch the example we give. Jesus spoke really strongly on the subject. Matthew 18:6-7, he says, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the seas. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come." We don't want to lead people astray. We don't want to be stumbling blocks. So, is it beneficial to our bodies? Is it beneficial to our minds? Is it beneficial to the kingdom of God? And is it glorifying our God? Principle number three. We as Christians, I don't know about you guys, but I know myself as a Christian, I'm called to serve only one master. Who's that master? It's Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ. Right back in the Old Testament in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, God commanded, "You shall have no other gods before me." I feel anything we allow to become our master, to control us, is becoming an idol. We're committing adultery against God, and we're choosing to have two masters rather than one. Going back to the scripture that Paul spoke of here in 1 Corinthians 6:12, "Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." What does it mean to be mastered? It means something controls you. It owns you. And it enslaves you. The Bible speaks of sin as a whole enslaving mankind. We are all slaves to sin, it says in Romans 6:17. If we allow anything in our life to master us and to have control, at this point our devotion becomes divided. And Jesus says we can't do it. He says it right here in Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. This, again, out of context, is about money. But it doesn't matter whether you are serving money or power or vanity or greed or food or drugs. If you're choosing something ahead and before God, you're serving another master. Joshua 24, I have the scripture on my lounge. My beautiful wife, she is very beautiful, she gave me a piece of art before we got married, and it has the scripture from Joshua 24, and it says, choose today whom you will serve. It's a little paraphrase, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to make a point here. We have a choice whether we sin or not. We have a choice whether we take drugs or not. But I want to make a point about addiction and being mastered. And I know this from my own experience. Once something has mastered you, you don't have a choice anymore. You become a slave to the substance. I remember at the height of my drug abuse, I went and visited my mother, and I remember I was under the influence of this drug, and I was sitting down, and she looked at me. It was like she wanted to shake some sense into me. And in her mind, it was as simple as this. She said to me, just stop. And I looked at my mum with tears in my eyes, and I said, Mum, I can't. Do you understand what addiction is? It enslaves you. You'd no longer have this free will choice. It controls you. It's not as simple as going, stop doing this. There are services out there for these people that are trapped in addiction. Counselors, drug addiction services, and many of these things help. But I know in my life, hallelujah, no one can set a person free like Jesus Christ can, with power and authority. And he did it in my life. And he can do it for any drug addict and drug abuser, anyone addicted to any sin out there. Jesus can do it. It's his reason for coming. Luke 14, 18. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. Whether it's drug addiction or whatever sin has got a hold of you, Jesus can break the chains. He can set us all free. Actually enjoying it by now. A brief summary. They're my points that I've gathered. There's others. We could look at this and we could go, is me using drugs causing me to be irritable and angry? Is me using drugs making me unloving and unkind and selfish? Is it breaking my peace? There's so many areas in the Bible. We don't have to have a specific word, do not use drugs. If we gather together God's principles as a whole, we know it's not the right thing to do. So, a brief summary. We talked about pharmakia. Do not use drugs to induce visions or hallucinations in order to contact the spiritual realm. We need to obey the laws, like it or not. We need to ask ourselves with everything in life, is it of benefit to do this? And last point, we're here to serve one master. At this point, a normal sermon would end at the summary. I'm not a normal person. I have a final remark. I'm bringing in more information after the summary. It's because, again, I look out at this audience, and I would suspect to some people that have heard this message and go, oh, well, that's all well and good, good godly principles, but to be honest, I don't do drugs, and I have no intention of doing drugs. And in fact, Phil, I don't even know anybody that does drugs. If I can take, for you people, one take-home message, one thing that you would take home today is God's heart towards the drug user. Mark, I'm going to read straight from the Bible from this one. Mark 2, 16 to 17. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, or drug addicts, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You might be sitting there going, I'm not a drug user, I'm healthy with regards to this topic of drug use. I'm healthy. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there that are not. There's a lot of people that are sick and suffering because of drugs. And they need a doctor. They need Jesus Christ. I'm just going to finish with a final scripture here. Well, actually, I've got a couple more points I wanted to make. Don't exclude and alienate and judge the drug user. Their sin is no greater than your sin. Don't exclude them. They need Jesus and they need the love of Jesus. So don't get in the way of Jesus showing them his love because of your own hang-ups or judgments on drug users. Now, I'll read my final scripture. Titus 3, verse 3 and 5. At one time, you too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So I thank God for his mercy in my life, and I pray that God's mercy would be on all of our lives. Thank you so much for being a good audience this morning, and not being too judgmental on me, and I hope you can all see me the same way. Thank you.